Welcome to Jazz United. I'm Nate Chenin, a jazz critic and the editorial director at WBGO.
And I'm Greg Bryant, host of Jazz After Hours on WBGO.
Jazz United is a conversation show about what's happening in the music and what's on our minds. We have heard some nice things. You know, some of you have listened to episode one, and I feel like we've had a real warm welcome out there.
Absolutely. And we want to also give a special kudos and shout out. We heard reflections from Morgan Guerin. We wanted to make sure that we corrected his name there. Apologies for the mispronunciation, but he reached out to say that he really enjoyed it. And it's always awesome to hear from folks who've been profiled that we did them right, you know?
Yeah, for sure. We're going to talk about a bunch of different artists this week. We've been thinking a lot, really over the last several months, about live streams, the ins and outs, the ups and downs, the way that they have both inspired and frustrated us, and really what they mean for the music.
It just brings to mind how essential that experience is. You know, what is a substitute for being in a room with real musicians making music in real time? There is no real substitute. And to really get at the crux of that, we kind of have to remember about how things were before all this. You know, when my wife Dara and I hit town in early January to move here, we were taking in concerts every other night, you know, burning the candle at both ends. And I remember turning to her and saying, we need to slow down a little bit. I mean, you know, it's financially draining, but we're soaking up all the wonderful experiences that the New York area has to offer, from jazz to Broadway, even to R&B. And I said, you know what? New York is going to be here. We need to slow down a little bit. And in a moment of, I don't know whether it was serendipity or what, but she turns to me and says, you know, it just might not be.
Wow.
And literally, Nate, 3 weeks later, we were in a shutdown.
Oh, man. Well, that is sort of heartbreaking. But it all, you know, I feel like I can relate to it so much. My parents were nightclub entertainers, and so I was literally born into it.
Mm.
My earliest memories are of clubs, nightclubs, you know, being a toddler, sitting on my grandmother's lap at the bar, waiting for the moment in the show where they call me up and I, you know, hop on stage and be my effortlessly cute self. But, you know, as I got older, I went to school in Philadelphia, and on my first night in town, I went to a club called Zanzibar Blue.
Ah, yes.
And actually saw a band led by someone we both know, bassist Christian McBride. And Zanzibar became one of the places that I hung out. You know, my senior year of college, I was in the clubs more than I was in the classroom. And so, you know, that it's just, jazz clubs have always been extremely important to me. It's almost like the entire fabric of my social life, which is, you could choose to think that that's inspiring or sad, but it is what it is.
We're birds of a feather.
Yeah. So for you, it's Nashville.
For me, it was a place called Cafe Milano. We hear about this place in Nashville downtown that's going to have Michael Brecker's quintet.
Oh.
It was the band with Tane Watts on drums. I still remember it like it was yesterday. James Genus was the bass player. Don Elias was on congas. Joey Calderazzo was the pianist. Michael Brecker was on tenor. We were 18 years old. We hooted and hollered like we were at a football game. And it was so infectious. It was like we were watching, you know, slam dunks from all five of the musicians.
So what you're describing is something that is just fundamentally alive.
That's right.
It's this vital piece of the entire experience of this music. When we lost that, it was not just disruptive. It was kind of terrifying in a way.
It really was. Thinking about the longest that I've gone without hearing musicians performing, the answer would have to be this period. I mean, from a baby or a toddler, every week in church, hearing musicians playing music before you in a room,
yeah,
to now where there's literally nothing. I've never gone this long without hearing musicians performing music in a room.
Yeah, it's definitely the same for me. It's sort of an existential threat for musicians, you know, who rely on these clubs. The music relies on these clubs because it's the place where new ideas are formed and worked out. Have you noticed yourself reaching for those live recordings in search of comfort, in search of a very specific comfort? Because for me, those Live at the Vanguard recordings especially, I found that I had to come up with a substitution, you know, because I was missing it so much. And so to put on Sonny Rollins' A Night at the Village Vanguard, or to put on Joe Lovano's Quartets Live at the Vanguard, you know, it was as much about re-inhabiting that space in my mind mm-hmm. as it was about experiencing the music.
I hear you on that, Nate. It also has led me to build a feature into my show, Jazz After Hours, and we call it In the Club. And it documents past recordings as well as present ones, on location recordings to enjoy and remember the times that we were in and that we all enjoyed.
That series is great. And I love the heart that you bring to it.
Thank you.
I wonder if we can hear just a little bit from an album that's just about to come out that was recorded at the Vanguard.
This is a good call, Nate. It's from Gerald Clayton, the pianist.
It's been on heavy rotation in my house, you know, the last few months for some of the reasons that we described, but also because I just think this is a really great band. I feel like I'm always saying this about Gerald Clayton. He is leveling up constantly. His band leading and his composition, everything about this feels compelling and urgent to me. So let's hear some of a piece called A Light from Happening. There was a moment that I think I'll never forget, honestly. On March 18th, which was probably about a week in, Cecile McLaurin-Salvant and Sullivan Fortner held a live stream on Facebook. And the only word that I can think to really use is like either communion or fellowship. It was the most beautiful experience. And they played for, I want to say it was almost like 3 hours.
Wow.
And it was just the purest expression of like, we need this. Like, we need to be making this music. We need to be hearing this music. It was so sort of restorative, you know?
Yes, it was. I saw a moment of that, and I'm remembering now as you're describing that, that voice that she has and the piano that he plays, it's almost that you didn't need all the extra stuff. It was just right for that moment and that sound that we got. Not only soothed our ears, but our souls as well.
It's interesting, there's this learning curve, and Cecile and Sullivan continued to do these concerts, but they moved it to a Patreon page.
Right.
So that you could contribute as if you were buying a ticket or paying a cover charge. You know, the production values increased, and it became more of a presentational experience, right? And you've done some of that yourself.
I have with my wife, Dara Tucker, who's a vocalist and a songwriter. The Act 4 Music Festival that's curated by Anthony Tidd, bass player. I know him for his work with Steve Coleman, among others. The Act 4 Music Festival was curated to provide 4 bands a day in whatever format they present. You know, I saw Linda Mahan Oh on there. Chris Potter was there. We presented on a day that was called Songs in the Key of Quarantine. Dara basically used that as an opportunity to present some almost finished works as well as some final works, one of them called Song of Freedom, which was very relevant for kind of the times that we're dealing with and dealing in. We had a chance to present that song on that forum via Act for Music.
Let's hear a little bit of that song right now.
How many times can sunlight spring, can angels' wings adorn you, knowing you're keeping all your hopes at bay? Tell me again how much you miss sweet heaven's kiss before you, waiting for God to take your blues away. Sing a song of freedom. Sing out strong, loud and pure and free. Battle on, fighting for your freedom. Pressing on to where you want to be. Sing a song of liberty.
That was Song of Freedom by Dara Tucker with Greg Bryant, our own Greg Bryant. That was beautiful, Greg.
Thank you.
At WBGO, we created something called the Livestream Hub, which was meant to amplify and, you know, and support especially artist-generated live stream efforts, you know, and it continues to be a resource. In June, there was a significant change to this ecology of live streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm referring, of course, to the fact that first Smalls, then the Village Vanguard, then the Jazz Gallery, as well as Keystone Corner in Baltimore and a few other places, began welcoming bands into the room, mostly with no audience, but the musicians were actually sharing physical space.
Right.
It's funny how revelatory that simple change could feel, but it really did feel that way to me.
Yeah, no, it was great. And we both had the opportunity right out of the gate to hear the Billy Hart Quartet. And man, this Village Vanguard stream, if you haven't seen it, folks, go to the Village Vanguard's website. Check it out. Really well done. Multi-camera angles. Nate, you spoke about hearing and remembering the sound of the room when you still can't be there. This is an example of that.
Yeah.
I was particularly just overjoyed, even by the musicians themselves, the song selection and the pacing of the set. In Billy Hart's case, you know, everyone always thinks that to have an audience in the room, you play off of an audience. No, your first level of conversation in a musical situation is with your fellow bandmates.
Right.
You're playing in the presence of people. Somehow, they knew that people were still there, but they didn't need bodies in a room to make them make great music. And I love that fact about that broadcast.
And, you know, Billy Hart is just such a beautiful spirit and such a hilarious guy, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like his comments were perfectly pitched to the weirdness of this experience, right?
Uh-huh.
He was not pretending that things were normal, but he was embracing the sense of connection that he got on that bandstand.
Absolutely.
We will include links to a number of clubs that are live streaming on our show page. The Vanguard stream is a $7 one-time viewing fee. It is well worth that and more.
Yeah.
Some other places, you know, Smalls is more of a pay what you wish situation, but they accept donations.
Mm-hmm.
The Jazz Gallery, I believe it's $10 per session, unless you're a member. And of course, you know, we advocate becoming a member if you can.
We're still going to have to investigate, you know, how do clubs, how do venues sustain themselves? You know, $7, $10, a cover charge, you know, just on limited days, that's still an unsustainable model for a lot of these venues. Until business returns in normal for many of these folks, they're faced with some pretty stark realities. And my heart just goes out to not only the venues, but the musicians themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Do what you can to support. You know, it's about being here for each other during this time. You know, I almost forgot. Greg, do you have any rituals around, like, watching a live stream? Because I know I do.
Man, honestly, I'm scrambling at the last moment to make sure that I'm there on time and that I don't have any distractions. But there's no special drink I like to have or food I like to eat. But maybe I should. Maybe it would enhance my experience.
Well, I will say that I only do this really when I can afford to and when it's a special occasion. But there have been enough of those. I make martinis or, okay, you know, Manhattans or whatever the case may be. You know, we set out a little bowl of olives and some, you know, mixed nuts. You know, it's just, it's my attempt to try to recreate that feeling, you know, like, uh-huh, like the feeling that you and I got at the Jazz Standard in February.
Yeah.
Sitting at a table with some snacks and a nice cocktail and, you know, really sort of being present for the music.
Indeed. And you know what? You hipped me to this, but coming full circle, Ravi Coltrane, who we saw back in February, tonight, he'll play a live stream on the Jazz Gallery's website.
Yeah, that's jazzgallery.org. I will certainly be there. Greg, will I quote-unquote see you there?
I will be in the room virtually.
All right, we'll have to be like texting each other or something.
Okay.
Can't lean over and like nudge you and say like, man, did you catch that piano solo? But I can, you know, I can text you. So
indeed.
That's how we're going to do it.
Nice. Jazz United is a production of WBGO hosted by me, Greg Bryant, and WBGO's editorial director, Nate Chenin. Find us at WBGO.org and on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can also find links to the live streams we've talked about on our website. Our theme music is United, written by Newark's own Wayne Shorter and performed by trumpeter Woody Shaw. Jazz United is produced by Sarah Kirsten. Simon Rentner is our senior producer. We'll catch you next time.